KINY Juneau. Now from the Alaska Airlines Studio, local first news for Juneau and all of Southeast Alaska.
From the capital city, I'm Jazz Garrett. Today and tomorrow, advocates from across the state meet with elected officials about the importance of prioritizing mental health and suicide prevention policy at the Alaska State Capitol. It's a rare opportunity to share personal stories and the latest research directly with lawmakers who shape the state's investments in mental health. James Bila is a co-founder of the Alaska chapter of the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention and the lead ambassador and healing coordinator.
Giving voice to suicide. Suicide has been stigmatized, has been told don't talk about it. We need to bring it up. We need to talk about it just like breast cancer or any other thing. We need to talk about suicide. The more we talk about it, the more comfortable people are going to talk about how they're feeling inside.
He has been working on Senate Bill 24, the public schools mental health education update, with Senator LV Gray Jackson, NAMI Alaska, Alaska Trust, Juneau Suicide Prevention, and other organizations over the past 6 years. The legislation passed the Senate by a vote of 15-4 on March 6th. The United States of America's Mrs. Alaska 2024, Carson Hupe, is also an advocate and volunteer. She flew to Juneau from Anchorage to participate in the Alaska State Capitol Days. She shares why she thinks Senate Bill 24 is important for the House to pass.
So I'm a suicide attempt survivor myself. I lend kind of a different voice that not a lot of our volunteers get to lend, which is kind of positive and negative in some ways. They've lost a lot of people who have died by suicide, but having a voice of someone who has lived experience and would have benefited directly, my biggest goal is the Senate Bill 24, because I was in high school around my attempt, and having those resources available to me, having updated education, would have been so beneficial to get me the help that I need way sooner than what ended up happening.
They are also advocating for Senate Bill 103, sponsored by Senator Forrest Dunbar.
Peer counseling is new. It was going along with the same line as Crisis for Now, which is the 988. So we're tying that into it, but what this is coming up with is some of our first responders respond to traumatic events, and we can't force them to get the counseling for it, but if we offer the services and be able to provide those services for them for no charge, they do fabulous work and they need to be taken care of.
The mental health budget, Senate Bill 188, will be discussed tonight after a free film premiere at 6 p.m.
Documentary at the Gold Town Theater. It's called Talking to the Tundra. It was done out in Tuxik Bay with the program that we do for Hope and Healing Week. Alaska Public Media came out and filmed it and did a 20-minute document. The focus is on we need mental health services. There's nothing out in the villages.
Yesterday, we talked with Representative Sarah Hannon on her reaction to Monday's failure to override the governor's education package veto. Here is Representative Andy Story with her thoughts.
Very disappointed that the override failed by one vote. It's so important that districts have certainty right now. I know the cuts that they're facing, so I was very disappointed. I did notice that broad support, over majority support, to pass this bill. We had 16 out of 20 senators vote in support of it, and we had 39 out of our, well, imagine out of our 60. And so that, I hope, sends a message to the majority of family members, to our teachers, to our school communities, to our business community, that we value public education. This bill was one vote short, but by no means does it mean we are finished. You know, I'm not giving up.
Coming up, a bill to support Alaska farmers has passed the Senate. That story next when Local First News continues. Senate Bill 161, which supports Alaska farmers by improving their municipal property tax breaks, unanimously passed the Senate on Monday. It's sponsored by Senator Jesse Bjorkman. And the bill expands the tax breaks to include structures on farmlands and updates the financial qualifications and application requirements.
Alaska farmers can find themselves in a financial bind if the value of the land around them is rising and leads to higher property taxes. Taxing farmers at a farmland rate encourages farmers to keep their land in food production, rather than selling the land or developing it themselves for other uses. I think it's important that we limit the burden of unfunded mandates on local governments. We've narrowed the scope of the mandatory tax break to only those farms that produce food for people or livestock, because I believe that addressing our state's food insecurity is important, and important enough to have this tax break.
The bill replaces the current requirement that 10% of a farmer's income is derived from farm operations with filing an IRS Schedule F and producing $1,000 in annual sales, the latter of which is the U.S. Department of Agriculture's definition of a farm. The sales requirement incentivizes startup farmers and small operations and provides increased privacy, as a farmer will no longer have to submit information on all of their sources of income to an assessor. To allow municipalities to support agriculture operations that provide economic benefit but do not contribute to the in-state food supply, the optional tax exemption in Alaska is also expanded under Senate Bill 161. Municipalities would have the ability by ordinance to offer full or partial exemptions on farmland and farm structures for the types of agriculture and aquaculture operations that it deems as locally beneficial. The bill now moves to the House for consideration. And communities in Southeast Alaska have long coexisted with landslide risks. Rain is a part of life here, with much of the region in the Tongass National Forest a temperate rainforest. Thousands of landslides have been documented in the Tongass going back decades, though relatively few have been fatal. But as the climate continues to warm, scientists say intense rains are expected to become more frequent in the region and other parts of the West Coast, heightening landslide risk. There have been three deadly landslides in Southeast since 2015, most recently in Wrangell. Now you're up to date with Local First News. I'm Jazz Garrett.